Blog Talk Radio.
October 31st, and we truly live in a Halloween world. And in case you're wondering where you are on Blog Talk Radio, and this is what's happening. And the call-in number is 347-857-3293. And I'm not going to say much tonight because we've got all kinds of experts in the house who are going to explain what we mean by tonight's topic. And we'll start off this way. Colonialism equals genocide. I'll say it again. Colonialism equals genocide. Houselessness, formerly known as homelessness, equals death. Gentrification equals ethnic cleansing. I'll say it again. Gentrification equals ethnic cleansing. And Gaza equals all of the above. This is a news analysis of oppression and colonialism and imperialism, capitalism, liberation, and resistance. And today, we live in a Halloween world where the goblins and the monsters are trying to gobble us up. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? So without further ado, Ralph Poynter is in the house, and we hope he can connect with us. He's in a different location. Ralph Poynter, Are you in the house?
Yes, I'm in the house. And in case anybody is confused, you're listening to Ralph Pointer and Betty Davis and What's Happening, and this is our statement. Now, too few people are concerned about the word genocide until it's close to them, until it represents what's happening to them. And for many years, we of the oppressed community have been saying, we want power, black power, we want the vote, the power of the vote. The power of the vote to do what? Well, the answer is, if you can define a problem clearly, you can get the solution. If you can define the problem clearly, you can get the solution. Now we have the power of the vote, but we are a third party in America without demands. If you look at other parliamentary countries in Europe, they have the Tories, the working class, the socialist class, et cetera, each fighting for something clearly. We don't have to find a single solution, but we have to find several single solutions. Now, our political position is that we play the role of political slaves. We give our vote without demands. We've said that over and over again. And so what we are saying, to participate in this government, we have to withhold our vote from the people we've been giving it to until we have a few demands met. One of the demands, we say, don't vote for anyone, any politician who doesn't have a history of working on our problems, our community problems, our division of problems as progressive people. And so we say right now we have power, but we've been giving it away. And it's like a dog with no teeth cannot bite. And the dog has to bite before people understand it has teeth. And now we are in a moment in history where we have an opportunity to bite. We can bite by sitting on our hands. And our particular demands are, number one, free our political prisoners. Number two, make a big dent in homelessness. Number three, restore all of the money for children's food subsidies. And if we can get enough progressive people to say they're sitting on their hands until that is done, my brothers and sisters, we will solve our problems and begin to solve many other problems. But we have to show teeth, and we have refused to show teeth. We always, in the last minute, they have someone say, oh, well, if you don't, the lesser of two evils we have to know, as James Baldwin told us many years ago, evil is evil, there's no lesser. Power is power, there is no lesser. And if we don't express power this time around, the next time around, Gaza may be in New York. Gaza may be in Brooklyn. Gaza may be in Roxbury. Gaza may be in any of the black communities around the world, and I think Gaza is in Chicago already. And with that said, my brothers and sisters, come with solutions. We have stated the problem, use the problem as you see it, with a solution. We need teeth, power, and we have power must be expressed. This is the opinion of the New Abolitionist Movement, Ralph Pointer and Betty Davis. Sister Betty, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. Really appreciate that. We're going to move right along because we've got some expert warriors in the house who are going to expound on this theme a little bit in a few moments. But before we expound on this theme, I want to open up the mic of our liberation poets. One of the things that the human mind does is it takes in information in different ways. And the mind seems, for most humans, to understand poetry, the relevant themes that touch our hearts. And so I'm going to open up the mic of one of our poets. It's 2 a.m. where she's calling from. She has not been well recently. She's recovering. So we're going to open up her mic, and I hope that the technology allows her to hear us and us to hear her. We're talking none other than Julia Wright of
yes.
Wright's fame.
Thank you. I'm here. Yes. And I attempted to write a poem about what's happening to my sense of time since I heard about the death toll in Gaza. It's a very short poem because time is short. Each day we wake up to a sky as yet innocent of planes and smoke, but our sense of time is bombed. I no longer trust my digital watch, powered by the very coltane that countless children far away in Congolese villages died to extract. I pace my morning with the chatter of a dying species, carefree Western children on their way to schools that are not targeted. My timepiece, the background drumbeat of my day, has become the burning knowledge that every 240 seconds a child in Gaza is assassinated. That is 15 children in 1 hour. That means that the hour we're spending together, at the end of this hour, at least 15 children will have been assassinated. And having said that, it influenced me to be very brief and respectful of time in my words tonight. So I'll be almost telegraph style. The rest of what I want to say you can find on the Mumia listserv. I posted 14 people's factors fueling the world stand for Gaza. Number 14, as we say in the Mumia Coalition, while Biden's government sends planes and bombs to help free hostages in Gaza, our political prisoners, aging political prisoners, the hostages of the war against black, brown, and indigenous dissidents are left unrecognized under the rubble of media blackout to die in our American dungeons. Factor number 13. As Angela Davis and Critical Resistance say, abolition means no more war. Dismantling the prison industrial complex is connected to the global movements against militarism. Factor number 12, the resistance of the people of Gaza against apartheid is the resistance of all liberation movements against colonialism everywhere. 11, Israel has lost control of the narrative as most of the world's cities has lost control of its streets. 10, the October 27 Assembly General Resolution for a Sustained Humanitarian Truce, introduced by Jordania, shows increasing unity in the Arab world in favor of Palestine. And I will finish because I want to remain within the 4 minutes that one child will be killed. I will say factor 9, only a minority of countries in the world recognize Hamas as a terrorist organization. Those countries, not surprisingly, are Israel, North America, Canada, the countries in West Europe, Japan, Australia, and Egypt, that is having second thoughts. So the rest of the world, the majority of the world, 80% of the world's population does not consider Hamas as a terrorist organization and considers Palestine as a liberation movement. And I stop here because I want to respect the 4 minutes. Thank you.
We thank you. We thank you. I know that this is an incredible skill you have as a poet, but you not only are a poet, you are a historian, and we certainly respect you for that. Brother Ralph, did you want to make a comment before we move on?
Said. Well said. Beautifully said. And anyone who doesn't understand that is already dead. Sister Betty.
All right. So we've got to keep it going. We've got another poet in the house that we always respect, and we appreciate them being gracious enough to wait. Professor Louis, your mic is open. And thank you, Comrade Julia Wright.
It was a white nightmare. When I woke up, it was still there. White cups and white socks wearing white jocks, breaking white locks, drinking white booze, paying white dues, hearing white news, singing white blues, telling white lies, under white skies, seeing white eyes, watching white guys, breathing white sighs, over white thighs, crying white cries, trying white highs and ringing white bells, down in white motels, white buy and sell, down in a white hell, dropping white pills, paying white bills, getting white ills, yelling white kills, and fighting white wars for a white cause, scratching white sores down on white floors of white drunken bars with white lightning jars and white movie stars and white Cadillac cars, dreaming white dreams, scheming white schemes, balling white queens, wearing white jeans, white boys will be boys, white girls, no noise, white man, big voice, white woman, no choice, white billionaire, white drill everywhere, white I don't care about the white polar bear, white corporate raiders, white Mexican haters, white masturbators, freaking white Darth Vaders, making white runs to get white tons of white guns, to give your white sons, to have white tools, to play white fools and be white ghouls and shoot up white schools with white BA, white MA, white USA, white KKK who play white potsy, smell white fotsy, white hotsy-totsy for white little Nazi who take white jump to white garbage dump, get big white chump, white Donald Trump, white young and old, white big and bold, white rock and roll for the white soul to give a white shove and kill a white dove in the name of white love in white heaven above where the white light is so white bright and a white Christ is so white high priced, white wherever you go, you hear a white guy blow on a white talk show, on your white radio, you hear the white fright and the white slight and the white might of the white right, who got a white Jones to get their white clones to fly white drones, wearing, leaving white bones. It was a white nightmare. When I woke up, it was still there. I'm getting white hair in my white underwear. I'm whiter than white, and it's a scare everywhere, because we are living in a white nightmare.
Wow. Thank you so much, Professor Louie. As always, you fit right in. As Cecilia told us, most of those nations that have the nerve to call Hamas a terrorist organization fit right into your white nightmare. Comrade Ralph, did you want to make a comment?
Fantastic. Professor Louie, fantastic. Keep us rolling. That wakes us up. Sister Betty.
All right, we're going to move right along. As you know, colonialism equals genocide. Homelessness or houselessness equals death. Gentrification equals ethnic cleansing. Gaza equals all of the above. As you know, tonight we are focusing on a theme, and we're analyzing it with the concept of what can we do. We will not be silent against this type of, but on the other hand, as Brother Ralph said, we know what the elites are doing, and we have to make it clear they're not doing it in our name. And one of the demands we have to make is that they must free our political prisoners. And one of the people who will give us an update on the latest atrocities impacting our political prisoners in the death camp is the sister who was the head for New York City Jericho. Ann Lam, your mic is open.
Al, thank you so much, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. Always an honor and a privilege to be in your company, even if it's just by audio. I have some updates, actually, from the Israeli death camps from Adamir, which is a prisoner support and human rights association in Palestine, and they have issued a call for action. And they say, in light of the retaliatory and punitive measures carried out by the Israeli prison services against Palestinian prisoners, isolating them from the outside world, prohibiting family and lawyer visits, subjecting prisoners to starvation, and neglecting them medically, which led to the martyrdom of the two detainees, Omar Dragma, 58 years old, and Arafat Hamdan, 25 years old, within 24 hours, Adamir calls those in solidarity with Palestine to address the legal advisor for Israeli prison services and demand an immediate cessation of the assault on Palestinian prisoners, using the following text. 2. Aram Nahan, legal advisor for Israeli prisoner services. We, depending on if you're doing it individually or organizationally, demand an immediate cessation of the assault on Palestinian prisoners, including beating, abuse, starvation, and medical neglect under the penalty of legal responsibility, as these practices constitute crimes for which you will be held accountable. The message should be sent to the email PNIOT@ips.gov.il. So this is just in today from our comrade Claude at Freedom Archives, and it's very important. In addition to calling for the release of our political prisoners here, we also call for the release of political prisoners around the world, and especially in Palestine at this time. And the other horrible news that I have from the Zionist entity, people should check out this place, commondreams.org. They've been doing a lot of good coverage, been happening. So this is called Abu Ghraib 2.0, IDF torture videos spark renewed calls to end U.S. military aid to Israel. It's no surprise that the same government that tortured Iraqis in Abu Ghraib is funding the same tactics on Palestinians, said our comrades at Jewish Voice for Peace. I won't get into the whole thing. There's some horrific videos embedded in this, which you can find on commondreams.org, which are on Twitter accounts. and it is very clear that this is happening in the West Bank. So while all the wires in the world are on the genocidal war in Gaza, the Israeli occupation forces and the Israeli fascist settlers have been busy trying to drive the Palestinians out of the West Bank. So U.S. Bank's Council on American Islamic Relations and Jewish Voice for Peace were among the groups that condemned the videos, which show armed and uniformed Israeli troops and possibly settlers beating, kicking, stomping, and dragging bound, blindfolded, and naked Palestinian men, forcing them to shout, "Long live Israel," and draping them in the Israeli flag. The footage of Israeli soldiers torturing Palestinian men in the West Bank is horrific. The Israeli military has brutally abused Palestinian prisoners for decades. As the Israeli military wages a genocidal war in Gaza, its soldiers are no longer hiding this abuse from the public. These videos were posted by Israeli occupation forces. They are proud of what they are doing. This is how disgusting this has become. So I really encourage people, because it would take too long to go through this whole thing, but it is absolutely true that this is going on. And so this was just posted late today at commonteams.org, and it's like right on the front page. You can't miss it. And another thing that I would encourage people to watch, which I haven't seen yet, but I plan to watch it, from the Electronic Intifada, electronicintifada.net. We need to get real news, folks. This is a video about the 7th of October that the Israeli occupation forces and YouTube apparently do not want us to see. So it would be very interesting to watch, because apparently from prior reports that have already been out, some of the people who were killed on October 7th were killed by the Israeli occupation forces. So we need to pay attention. Then they turn around and blame it on someone else. So that is my brief presentation for the evening, in respect for the fact that several children have probably died in Palestine, as I said these things. And also, don't forget, on November 11th, Veterans Day, we will be honoring the people, veterans, talking assassination of our political prisoners by medical neglect. That is going to be a Zoom event. We will be sending out updates shortly. We're going to focus on just four of them for the moment, because we have so many people with this problem of assassination by quote-unquote medical neglect. We call it medical murder because that's what it is. So we'll be focusing on our dear comrade, Mumia Abu-Jamal, our dear comrade, Leonard Peltier, our dear comrade, Kamal Siddiqui, and our dear comrade, Ed Poindexter. And we will also be remembering and tributing those who died inside the walls and those who were let out after many years only to die shortly thereafter, because we are not accepting this and we have to figure out what we're going to do about it, but we're certainly not going to let it stand. So what's the call? Free them all.
Thank you.
Free them all. That's the call. Thank you so much for that, Anne.
So we're going to continue. We appreciate the patience of our audience. We need you to listen carefully. We need you, if you pay close attention, you will hear some of the strategies we are using to push back. I hope you will recall the words of Brother Ralph. Don't vote for anybody that doesn't stand up for your right to self-defense and self-determination. Don't vote for anyone holding your people captive. Yes, sister, go ahead. Did somebody say something? Okay. So our next speaker, we got another Jericho in the house. This time from up north, I think that's where Boston is, 7785, thank you for waiting. Your mic is open.
Yes. Is Kazi online? Why don't you let him go first? I'll go after him.
Okay, you got it. Comrade Kazi,
sure.
As always, we can't wait to hear what you got.
I'll move for you, Ma.
Read them all.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you for having this show. And I want to thank you also for asking me to say a few words about why new African people should support Palestinian struggle. First of all, let me say, like my comrade Jaleel Muthakim wrote it, that we are our own liberators. And we have a common oppressor in the U.S. government. It's the same based and developed on white supremacy, are the main supporters of Zionist Israel. And third, one thing happened. In 2001, I attended the WCOG conference in South Africa. It was the third international conference on racism and xenophobia. When we were caucusing on what we were going to write, two Negroes, they would probably call themselves African Americans, but we know we can't be Americans unless we have equal rights, which we do not. But there were diplomats from the Justice Department. They came to the meeting to tell us that if we used the words Holocaust or genocide and what we were describing happened to us in this country, that they would walk out. They would walk out of the conference. And then they ended up walking out with their little buddy, Bibi and Zionist Israel anyways. Then why those two words, right, that we were forbidden to use in our statement. And they told us those words were reserved for the Jewish people coming out of Germany in World War II. genocide and Holocaust over, has happened to us right here in this country. In fact, 2 years ago, in October, 9 international judges found the U.S. government guilty of crimes against humanity in 5 categories. And people can, look it up on the Internet, Spirit of Mandela, for a full recount on the categories and steps that was presented. What happened on October 7th can also be seen as a prison break. Besides, before October 7th, and it was 5,500 Palestinian political prisoners. Today, it is 10,000. And the kids under the age of, there was about 170 kids, 18 and under, before October 7th. Now there's probably 3 times that much. According to Save the Children, there's been 3,100 kids killed in Gaza in an open air prison. Any type of resistance gets labeled as terrorism. And we've seen the same thing like with Nat Turner, and his rebellions, whatnot. The first reports came out that he was chopping off babies' heads and raping women. Same thing we see, same propaganda 400 years later, they're saying the same thing, Hamas chopping off babies' heads and raping women. And they're calling them terrorists. I mean, we all know those who win the war write the history, control the narrative, and create the conditions that we end up, when we end up firing on them, they want to cry sympathy, these people fired on us. But they created the conditions. Hamas was democratically elected in 2006. And if you don't want to sit down and talk and you want to expel them from your parliament, then, the only thing left is to fight. I mean, that's the only thing left. If you don't want to sit down and talk, and, what are you leaving us with? And the bottom line here is we should always support oppressed people in the world.
Right on. And, thank you, Brother Cuddy.
One other thing to say. Today, because this is on the radio, today a radio station, WGBH Public Radio, was occupied. The name of Palestine, a statement was read up here in Boston.
Yahoo!
On a move, free them all. I'll move to free them all.
Oh, all right. We're going to move right along. have another comrade, and if you are familiar with, Comrade Antonella, Boston Jericho, and resistance movements all over the world. Thank you for joining us, comrade. I know you're in another state. Welcome. Your mic is open.
Thank you so much, Betty and Ralph. I love you both. I admire you and everyone on the show. I adore you. I want to start by saying that while we were on the phone talking, resistance fighters in Jenin were able to destroy some Zionist military tanks that were destroying homes in Jenin. So that is wonderful. Jenin is a huge cradle of resistance that I have so much respect for. But I also wanted to talk on the show about another cradle of resistance that is getting a big brunt of this genocide today at 9 a.m. We saw the IOF, funded by the U.S., put 6 bombs in Jabalia refugee camp. It was a massacre. And it was at 9 a.m., you know, we were all doing our world here, and that's your time. I'm in Chicago now. And I just want to read some quotes from this because I think it's important. And this is from the Resistance News Network, which I will be sharing links to, so if people can get pen and paper and be ready to write down some things later, that would be great. They said, "I'm standing in a pit of corpses inside Jabalia camp. It is a true massacre that we can't even imagine. And I want to say that this is a 500 square meter area. This is a refugee camp that is being hit with the brunt, but you know, the doctors and everyone there are just so steadfast and have so much strength, and they are facing this genocidal war head on. And I also want to say that with all this grief and devastation, we are not to put our heads down. We are to keep our heads up and know that liberation is on the cusp. I share a little bit of a statement that the PFLP put out after this massacre in Jabalia, which we know is just part of their attack on all of occupied Palestine, the entirety of it. And they said, Gaza, they said a bit about Jabalia, but then at the end, Great Gaza, with the statue of its heroes and the blood of its children, is our roots deep in the ground. It will rise from the ashes. And I think this just speaks to that no matter how much the oppressor beats and beats and beats the people, liberation must prevail. I also want to speak to the resistance in that right now it's all talk about Hamas because that is the chosen boogeyman the U.S. and the Western world has chosen. We've seen the same rhetoric of picking a boogeyman and going with it when the U.S. invaded Iraq or even Vietnam, and just all of the U.S.'s wars of aggression that are absolutely uncalled for. But the resistance in Palestine is widespread. That is only one fraction of the resistance groups. And I would love to know if there's other cases, but of all my studies of liberation movements, I don't think that I've seen a situation where we have such a diverse and widespread resistance, like even just within the armed resistance factions, because, of course, resistance you know, prevails in so many ways, but even just within the armed resistance fractions, the diversity of political ideology, religious thought, etc., is so extremely diverse, but yet they are so unified in the cause of liberating their land because they are the indigenous people that feel it. They feel it in their souls, and they know they can put their differences apart, whether it's a Marxist group or whatever it is. They know that their cause and their solidarity is the core of that, and that's so beautiful, and that's what we see in the Lion's Den, and that's what we see in the resistance there. So that's phenomenal. I now want to speak to kind of like in the diaspora, the resistance, and what we can do in the diaspora here. But first, I just want to shout out that Chile, Bolivia, and Colombia officially cut diplomatic ties with the Zionist entity very recently, which is amazing. Obviously, they shouldn't have normalized in the first place, but, you know, we accept that they've made a mistake, and now they're clarifying it in the face of this, and they said it was due to unacceptable violations of human rights, etc. And also three major trade unions in Belgium have announced that they will halt the trade of Wetu and from the Zionist entity. So these are notable things. Going to Boston and to the U.S., the so-called U.S. specifically, we see the birth of PAL Action USA. And I'm sure you're familiar with PAL Action UK, which has shut down various Israeli weapons companies all across the UK. I think it's been four now, if I'm correct. So the U.S. branch has just opened, and I think we have to put our full support behind that. There was just good attacks at Elbit to shut it down. And I want to share a phone number if people want to call the landlord, because he's Armenian. He knows what a genocide is like. And I think there is potential to shut it down from the outside, but also have the landlord decide, you know what, I don't need to deal with all this stuff. I can rent out my studio to someone else who will pay the same rent. So I'm going to say the number now if you can write it down. It's 617-782-2600. Again, 617-782-2600. And this is the landlord of the office that Elbit rents from. And the message is to evict Elbit. And also to follow the Resistance News Network, which is in time, real life, in English news on what's happening in Palestine, the resistance, our political prisoners, our martyrs, all of that. It's a Telegram link, so you'll just type it into your webpage, and it'll open Join Telegram and join. So it's t.me, and then / like a dash. And then it's Palestine Resist, all one word. And if you want to capitalize Palestine and capitalize Resist, but keep it together, and that should take you to the Telegram page, which has been an enormous sense of brought hope and solidarity and fire behind all of this. I'm also open to any questions, too. Thank you so much. Long live the resistance.
No, we do. Brother Ralph.
Well, Julian Assange is still behind the wall, and I'm glad we have P bringing us the truth. Sister Betty.
All right. We're going to go back to 7785 and Brother Sieto and our other comrade Henry, and I see so many other people on the call, of comrade from Canada. Please hang in there. We're going to get to everybody. We've extended the program. Please understand that we have quite a following from our warrior struggle for political prisoners over the years, and this will be saved, this MP3 will be saved and forwarded. And we want people to know what they can do and what is really happening, what this moment in history really means. Without further ado, comrade, your mic is open. Please proceed.
Okay. Let me just follow up on a few things that have just been said, and also I'm sure that everyone I'm talking to directly and the listeners have a good understanding of what the colonial founded state of Israel and the support it gets from U.S. imperialism and its government here is all about. But nonetheless, let me just say this real quickly. Antonio Guterres, who's the Secretary of the United Nations, I mean, we're talking about an official big position, he just recently said, it's important to recognize that attacks by Hamas did not happen in a vacuum. Palestinian people have been subjected to what he says is 56 years of occupation. Actually, it's 75 years, but if we just take it last 56, that would be certainly correct. And of course, it's not that he said anything new, but the fact is that the world itself, most countries in the world itself, is not following the U.S. government and the U.S. mainstream media and the Israeli, media accounts of what's going on in Palestine and Gaza and in Gaza right now. And just a couple of points, and I'm sure people have been, seeing a lot of these reports themselves. But just today, it was reported, even in the American media, that the biggest refugee camp in Gaza was bombed with horrendous, huge bombs by the Israeli government. And you know, literally hundreds and probably actually it's thousands of just civilians, children, everybody had been killed. This is a noted, recognized, officially sanctioned refugee camp that was, you know, bombed, not by accident, not as collateral damage or something. As of yesterday, it was already also reported that one quarter of all the homes in Gaza, and this was before the bombing I just spoke about, one quarter of all the homes in Gaza have been leveled, totally leveled, nothing left. Another thing that we should just be clear, and Kazi spoke to this well, is that when we hear in American media and the Israeli government that it's Israel is fighting a war against Hamas, Israel is fighting a war against Palestine. And as Antonella just spoke on, the resistance in Palestine, which has been going on for 75 years since they first got occupied and colonized by the Israeli state back then when it was first founded, with the support and the direction of British, French, and U.S. imperialism, colonialism, founded that state. The Palestinian people have been resisting and opposing that occupation ever since then. And the resistance has many factions and many organizations, but they're all united in the fact that there are people, they're an occupied, colonized people that have not only the need, but the absolute right recognized under international law and just human rights to resist and to oppose the oppression and colonization that they're being put to generation after generation, 75 years now. One thing has already also been said I just want to touch on real quick. What's happening, and there's many reports of this coming out. Sister Ann spoke about it. Right now, the Palestinian political prisoners, the ones that have been in the prison, over 5,000 of them in Israeli prisons, there's reports coming out, numerous reports coming out, that they're being murdered, individually murdered. Some just not getting their medication. They're starving them. They're not feeding them. I mean, this is within the Israeli prisons that many of these comrades have been locked up for years and decades even. Every day there's reports coming out that some of them have died. And these are not just older people, you know, long-held prisoners, but even recently captured political prisoners are winding up dead. Just reports in the Israeli media that such and such died, such and such died. So we're seeing this on any level that you look at. Murder and genocide is being committed, and it's being committed by the Israeli colonial system and government against the Palestinian people, not against just some one faction of the resistance or anything, against the Palestinian people in general, and particularly against the refugees in Gaza that are just bombs are raining on them. You know, as we speak right now, people are dying under the bombs that are raining down on them. So there's nothing new in what I'm saying. I mean, you turn on the TV, you can see much of this thing. But putting it in some context, this is what we're really witnessing. And let me just leave it at that and give other people a chance to speak as well. Free them all.
Free them all.
Free them all. Brother Ralph, did you want to throw in here?
That's the call. You can hide the truth for a long time. You can keep Julian Assange in the death camp, but you cannot keep his truths from being told. Thank you, my brothers and sisters.
All right, we're going to keep it moving. Another stalwart supporter and struggle comrade for Mamiya, Brother Henry Hagan, your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and good evening to all of our guests and supporters. I'd like to share with our folks tonight a brief reading list to deepen understanding and to place a tremendous amount of this information in historical perspective. The periodicals that publish daily the atrocities and indignations that people are going through. One includes a piece by Maya Schoen entitled From One War to Another, found in the Socialist Organizer in the October 24th edition this year. Another book includes The Hidden History of Zionism by Ralph Schoenman, published in 1988, although dated, has tremendous amount of information that is helpful to help us understand what is going on and the roots of it. And it's published by Veritas Press. Another book that is important to read is This Time We Went Too Far, Consequences of the Gaza Invasion, 2008, Norman Finkelstein. The next book is called Gaza, A Symbol of Resistance, published in 2011 by Joyce Chediak. Another book is entitled As a Gazan Daughter in Exile, just published this October 28th by Rima Sala in Truth Out. Also a regular publication is entitled Consortium News, current editions, October 2023, and it talks about settler colonialism. And I have it on the next book on good authority. A friend of mine who was fluent in German, who's joined the ancestors, entitled Mein Kampf. They always talk about Hitler and his writings and his observations, but they always leave out the fact that Hitler himself credited none other than the United States of America of modeling brutality against the indigenous and African peoples over past centuries that set the stage for him to then turn around and treat people of Jewish descent the same way. And so those publications are important to examine because they help to deepen our understanding about this whole notion of why Palestinians are under attack. And it goes back to historical roots. And so I just want to share those books with folks in the audience. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brother Ralph? Brother Ralph, did you want to comment?
Yes, I did. That fact that Hitler used the United States as a model in many different ways, and that he had used to save their inferiority of people that came from America.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a fact that too few people understand. Thanks again, Henry Higgins. Mr. Betty.
All right. As I said, this is a book, a program that is to serve for a reference work for people who want to do something about it, because it'll never change unless we do something about it. We want to keep this moving. We know the burning spear is in the house. Brother Dennis, Brother Sierra, pardon me, Comrade Sierra, your mic is open. And thank you for waiting. And well, more dynamite speakers, people. We've extended the time because it's important that the community understand why you should not support genocide anywhere. Go ahead, Brother
Seattle. Uh-huh. Powerful program, powerful truths coming up. Just 2 days ago, Benjamin Netanyahu had to backpedal on the bombing of the hospital that Israel did, in fact, do. And the narrative today by Tony Blinken is that they're going to, not me, not you, they're going to forge ahead, even though these atrocities are going on further, as we all know. We see that every day. They're going ahead to support Israel, all out in brutality, mongers. We are neglecting. We need to look at the Congo as well, because AFRICOM is over in Congo right now doing the very same thing with ethnic cleansing in the Congo. They talk about a Holocaust. Over 15 million Congolese were murdered by the U.S., by Germany, and others of a short time. And so what this is occupation, and it's heightened greed, not need, but greed. Right now it's the coal tax. It's for the cars, the electric cars, the things that they want and the things that they need. So they're, what they're doing is distracting the public with the need to support in Israel, which we have nothing that we created out of Israel. Only the only thing Israel has done is occupied land in Palestine from its inception. It's a blockade settlement or state that was created, again, as the brothers have mentioned, by such tyrannists as the UK, France, the Dutch, and the United States of America, along with the UN, United Nations. So when we look at this thing that's going on, don't get it converted here on a daily basis, every day, even in prison, out of prison, taking, walking the dog or whatever, we've been murdered on a daily basis by the same colonial institution for its own greed. The mission is to wipe out the mass. That's the real deal. For the few to live lively, good, healthy states of life where they can live in pleasure at their will. Right now, they're taking the placentas out of African women and pawpaw. They're taking the placentas and selling them. This is an outcry. Our war is the same no matter where it is. We need to form a group, the collective, militarily, institutionally, for ourselves. We are our own liberators. And right now, we're under siege, homelessness. All this is about eradication. Let's be real about this. Right now, jailing the chairman will mean a death sentence. And the trial comes up in February. Mumia Abu-Jamal called out on the prisoner radio to free the three. He did this past weekend. So I'm saying this to all of us. We have solutions, as Brother Ralph and Sister Betty had stated. We see the problem. It is time for us to come together as a collective. And that means getting rid of any traitor. That means mainstream media, create our own media, and start doing for ourselves what we need to do physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I don't mean run to the church and go to Jesus, because there's no miracle that's going to happen. We must walk this line. The walk and the talk must be ours. And I say this in closing, that we have the march coming up on November 4th in Washington, D.C. We're calling all comrades to go to blackpeoplesmarch.com. And I want to tell you, I'm listening to this program. We'll listen to it again because I want to touch out, reach out to each and every one. We must work together. No more separation. No more talking about what I'm doing over here and what you're doing over here. We must do it as a collective. And I say this with the utmost unction. Tonight, let's start our forces together. Uhuru.
Uhuru, I want you to know that there are a couple of people who want to give you a part two of their statement, but they yielded. They tried to keep to the timeline that Sister Julia put forward so that everyone could present their perspective. Everybody is coming at this from the point of view of what their strengths and their insights are. So without further ado, sorry, folks, I dropped my thought here. We're going to try and open the mic for 2847. 2847, your mic is open. And 0253, please hang in there. We see you. Continue.
Good evening, good evening. You know, it's so important to keep track as to how the politicians and the conservators tend to deflect, you know, from the from important developments. For example, while we are focused on the Middle East and the atrocities there, keep in mind, you know, historically, these were all created by the British, the Imperial British, same guys who, you know, introduced slavery to the world, to the New World, excuse me. right now, today, as a latest distraction, as some of you, or perhaps most of you already know, but may not have, you know, put it in or given it equal weight, the king, the most salient figurehead of the British legacy monarchy, is visiting Kenya. supposedly to make amends, you know, for the slavery and colonial days, colonial atrocities. You know, up to 100,000 Kenyans lost their lives, you know, in trying to free themselves, which is a number, you know, during the last two or three wars of the 1963 revolution in Kenya, a number of 100,000 are dead and perhaps another 100,000 maimed and disappeared. But keep in mind, this number, you know, is a multiple of the total number so far killed in the Ukraine and even the Middle East. So, and yet, you know, this is all pretty much, you know, what they call horse and pony show. The king is visiting there to supposedly follow up on an earlier commitment that his mom made to reimburse them of the pittance of a reparation of $24 million. Now, $24 million is less than half of the $106 million spent annually just to maintain the royalty, which of course has no real, you know, no real benefit, so to speak, in practical terms. So all this nonsense, you know, just as a distraction, you know, to perhaps, you know, deflect blame on who, you know, exactly started this whole mess in the Middle East, you know, in 1948. So, you know, it's a comment that seems a bit, you know, tangential, but nonetheless, you know, it's yet another episode of how people deflect, distract, and, you know, and ultimately, you know, produce false flags, you know, just like the president who was under indictment in the Middle East. And this is very convenient for him to have this outbreak where he can then, you know, unite the country, get back all those reservists, half of whom resigned in protest of his trying to overturn the Supreme Court. One deflection, one distraction, you know, my gosh, these guys make magicians look like, you know, like amateurs with all their, you know, hideous and heinous, you know, that involved the loss of lives, millions of lives. I'm going to stop because I'm just getting enraged, just putting this in perspective. Thank you for this opportunity and this abridged comment. I now yield to my fellows.
We, the last four digits are 7.
We thank you for bringing us
8.
This perspective. Seven,
two, two, eight. Did you want to make a comment? Your mic is open if you want to make a comment. Okay.
Oh, greetings, comrades. Greetings, comrades and community. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes. Baba Kazi invited me, and so I was just joining you all and listening.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for being in solidarity with this struggle. Thank you so much.
Yes. Most definitely.
Okay.
I could share something really quickly. I know we have a very short time. I just texted it to Baba Kazi, and I don't know if it's the linkages, but here in what they call liberal Boston, Massachusetts, the newly elected mayor, who we know the mayors are in charge of the police department, they have gotten the city council to sign off on an ordinance that is going to unleash the police state apparatus on the most vulnerable in our cities tomorrow by going to where the encampments are in the area in Boston known as Mass and Cass. And the ordinance that they signed has even extended the powers of the police to the point where you cannot have a tent on any city-owned property. And this is a crisis that was created by the system here in Boston, and now it's a continuation. So tomorrow, the same way that we see Israel going into Gaza and demolishing homes and hospitals, we're going to see that here in Boston tomorrow. So I just wanted to share that with the people, and you can probably Google that and get more information. Thank you, comrades.
All right. Several mics are open. If anybody wants to comment on that before we go back to Sister Antonella, who had some additional information, but she wanted to be supportive of those who wanted to speak. 9811, did you want to make a comment? 9811, did you want to make a comment? Your mic is open. If you could just say good evening, 9811. Okay, so then for the rest of you, I've opened up your mic, Kazi, and Antonella, because you wanted to.
Yeah, I'll just say something real quick. I just, you know, like what that brother was talking about, too, in Africa, you know, in Kenya, and, you know, like, and how they want to depopulate Africa as well, you know, and all that's been going on for a long time. You know, that probably the same time they've been trying to wipe out the Palestinians since 48, you know. But we definitely have to, like, support their struggles here by, like, I mean, people need to pick up and stop, you know, like just demonstrating, yelling at empty buildings and shit. You know, they have to, like, start occupying things and start, like, shutting things down, like, so it's not business as usual, you know. Do what they can. On a move.
All right. Mr. Antonella, do you want to say something else?
Yes, I just wanted to share that organizations like AIPAC and other organizations literally pay politicians millions of dollars to support Zionism. Sorry to take up time talking about Joe Biden because he's just a puppet in all this, but I remember when he was young, he put out a statement. He said, if there were not an Israel, we, being the U.S., would have to create an Israel to support our interests in the Middle East, in the area. Specifically, what some people don't know is not only, okay, they love to be in the Middle East, but there's also, because of the gas fields, et cetera, but there's gas fields off the coast of Gaza and also off the coast of Lebanon, which Hezbollah has been a huge force of protecting those gas fields from Zionists. And just a little statement from AIPAC is in 2020 when Joe Biden was taken and been elected, and this is for all the presidents, but he received $3.7 million to continue supporting Zionism, and this is all the people in the cabinet that are getting this money. So you have to be a coward, you have to be sold out, you have to be or brainwashed as a child to be a Zionist and support Zionism. This is how that goes. So there was that. There was uplifting the fact that there are gas fields there, and also the U.S. is extremely threatened by Brits and that whole trade route, like the new Silk Road, essentially, and they feel their power crumbling. The Zionist entity is crumbling from the inside out, so is the U.S. These are all paper tigers. We know this. I wanted to finish saying a statement from one of the resistance fractions, and it's very similar to what Kazi shared. And here it is. It says, verbal stances don't shoot down planes or prevent missiles from falling on the heads of the innocent. Therefore, we call to expel the ambassadors of aggression, a cry of anger and dignity to the entire Arab streets to stop the flow of oil and gas to countries complicit in the aggression. It is time to close the American military bases in the Arab countries. And just a little note. So Syria, Hezbollah, and Yemen have already been supporting the Palestinian cause, attacking these American military bases that are on their land, et cetera. And then for the workers' union in global ports to refuse to unload or load any weapons shipment to or from the Zionist entity. And they end saying, let us trust in our people, ourselves, our dignity, our freedom, and in our right to life. Thank you.
Wow. We thank you. Brother Ralph, did you want to make a further comment?
Yes, in total, those with the courage to listen to this program and identify themselves show that there is still a little courage left in America, because we know that when people are punked, they are punked in the dark, in the night. And we have watched our so-called politicians being punked in the dark. Now it's coming to light. They dare show themselves as punks. As I say, being in a jail, taking the soap to the shower at night alone. They are bearing their tortured souls to the world. and we must not allow them to punk us by giving them our votes. This is Ralph Pointer. I say one more time, the new abolitionist movement says, withhold your vote from Biden, the Democrats, or any politician who does not support your political position. And we must come together on three basic positions. Free our political prisoners, numero uno. Two, end homelessness. Put a big dent in homelessness. Three, include the subsidy for food for children. And if we don't get that done, sit on our hands in the next election. Sister Betty.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Comrade Ann, your mic is open. I know you always want to give us more words of wisdom, but you always yield in time so others have a voice. You can continue if you have more to add to your former comment. As I said, we wanted everybody to have a moment to speak, and so we're going back around again. And I want to take a moment to say to, and I think it was 7228, thank you for giving us the update on the latest Cop City movement in one of our cities. This is how Brother Ralph opened up the program. We are all Gaza. We are all Palestine. And thank you for letting us know. You said they're going to be moving on people's camps and on embankments. That is extremely important information. Thank you again. Yes. Did you want
to add
more?
Thank you very much. And my name is Maya X. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So everybody be on the alert for this kind of legislation and out it.
Yes.
Out it. Tell people what it means. If you ride a bus, if you're in a cab, if you're just in the street shopping, start talking about it with somebody. Educate people what it means. Help people connect the dots. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Okay, little update from the Gaza Health Ministry from today after that horrible bombing of the refugee camp of displaced Palestinians being displaced by the white settler colonialists. They said on Tuesday, 8,525 people, including 2,187 women and 3,542 children, have been killed and over 21,000 others wounded by Israeli forces since they began bombarding Gaza on October 7th. This is most probably an undercount because there are a lot of people who, as you know, are buried beneath rubble. And, you know, the whole medical system is falling apart because they're not allowing in, as we know, food, water, medical supplies. They've let in like a little trickle of them, and no fuel. So the doctors and the medical workers, who are really inspiring, I have to say, are refusing evacuation orders by the occupation forces because they say two things. First of all, it's impossible to evacuate people who need electricity in order for the machines that are sustaining their life to function in the middle of a war zone. And second of all, it is our duty, we've taken a Hippocratic oath, we are not abandoning our patients. So, you know, one of the things that the Zionist entity has been doing deliberately is targeting hospitals, targeting schools, the UN schools, targeting mosques, targeting churches. All of these are war crimes. Let's remember, under international law, all of these are war crimes. And it's being fully supported by the government of the United States, even though more than two-thirds of registered voters in this country have said, we want an immediate ceasefire.
Say that again. That's important.
More than two-thirds of registered voters in the United States have stated clearly, We want a ceasefire. That's two-thirds of registered voters. It's actually 80% of Democratic voters. Okay? So if these so-called people in Congress are supposed to represent us, which we know is a farce anyway, but since they supposedly represent us, it will behoove us to keep the pressure on them, you know, because they are just blatantly saying, oh, we're going to give all this money to the Zionist entity. And, you know, they're basically saying that we support genocide, which, you know, is not surprising to those of us who know what the United States is like. But this is really just really horrible. And that's just what's going on in Gaza. As I said before, what's going on in the West Bank is really monstrous and inhumane. And, you know, there's videos of these people, you know, doing these horrible things to people. They poured water on us, urinated on us, and then someone holding a stick tried to shove it up my rear. Everybody remembers Avner Louima, right? This abuse of three Palestinians came at the hands of soldiers from an IDF unit of quote-unquote hilltop youth accompanied by settlers and lasted almost a full day.
Oh.
And this is in Haaretz, which is an Israeli newspaper. Beating, burns, attempted sexual assault. All right? So, you know,
thank you,
it's just horrifying.
Thank you for that touch. I want to go back to, I think I may have omitted something. 0253, did you want to make any comment? First, the last four digits are 0253. Your mic is open. Did you want to make any additional comments? Hello? Yes. Did you want to make a comment? 0253. Okay. As I said, we had many people who were speaking. 2847, did you want to add anything more before we go to Brother Ralph and Brother Sierra?
Well, you know, like the essence of what I was saying, we just got to, you know, watch the right hand while the left hand, you know, does all the, you know, all the deception. Because every now and then, you know, we hear of these events that seemingly are unconnected, but they're all meant to obfuscate, you know, the real hard-hitting numbers, as Brother Ralph has pointed out and the other guests too. You know, it's atrocious. I mean, the tens of thousands, you know, minuscule. You know, someone, I think it was Brother Ralph, also mentioned about the soldier in Maine. You know, here on the one hand, we are tolerating our soldiers, you know, from carrying weapons and committing these atrocities, and then we are expected to be all in remorse and, you know, and stunned when they go on rampages. That again are minuscule compared to what the greater bodies do, you know, around the world. So just, you know, just a reminder, you know, as to, you know, I hate to put it in such, you know, blasé terms, but, you know, it's like they say, it comes home to roost, coming home to roost, you know, as it says. But anyway, you know, it's
right.
It's just mind-boggling, and you know, and it's a price that you know, we have to pay sooner or later. You know, let's you know, I mean, everyone has to pay the piper. You know, whether in you know, whether today, tomorrow, or years later. I mean, the British atrocities go back to 1948 just for the Middle East. What about, you know, the slavery after 200 years? You know, 15 million. You know, slaves are brought out of Africa. I was just reading a statistic today. During between 1600 and 1800, the populations of Asia and Europe doubled, literally doubled. The population of Africa actually went down 10%, mostly because of, clearly, not mostly, but clearly because of, you know, of the Atlantic slave trade, and of which 15 million were taken across. You know, up to 2 to 5 million died en route. You know, in the atrocious way in which they were, you know, they were packed like sardines. I think sardines had a better time. And, of course, in the homeland, too, you know, with all the conniving and maneuvering, you know, another 15 million even perished, you know, even before the before they embarked on the ship. But again, everyone listening, you know, knows all these numbers. But you know, those are the history, the legacy that is just keeps repeating itself. And we think these are all isolated events. No, you know. And I'm glad we have this forum where we keep reminding the listeners and hopefully, you know, the population at large as to how, you know, what you sow, so shall you reap. And thank you.
Thank you. I want to ask Brother Kazi if he wanted to add anything, and the same thing for 7785, if you had any closing words. I know Brother Kazi wanted to talk about dollar signs at one point, the money going to the Ukraine to continue. The role of NATO.
How much money they're sending to, how much money they give Israel every year, and how much they want to give them another, $120 billion or whatever. And they're spending all this money on Ukraine, and I don't know, where is it coming from?
Exactly.
Where's all this money come from? Because they don't have anything for schools. They don't?
Yes, exactly.
So,
Brother Sierra wants to remind us once again, we can do something about it. Brother Sierra, how can they make their voice heard?
Yes, you can go to handsoffuhuru.com and look at the events that are forthcoming with the Uhuru Movement and African Socialist Party, and you can join us in the March for Free and Freedom, March for Uhuru Freedom and the Freedom of Speech, which we all know is being shunned out by anyone that would speak against the hypocritical state called the United States. How can you dare call people terrorists when you're the biggest terrorist on the planet? How can the biggest bully call foul when they're the most foul being on the planet? How can you then say that there will be no more wars on the ground while you invent and create war, armaments that you don't even have to move from your living room? You're a coward, a chump, and a traitor to the humanitarian race. I say this to you again. Remember, Black People's March, which will be next Saturday in Washington, D.C. Go to blackpeoplesmarch.com and look out for traitors, whether they be petty bourgeoisie, neo-colonizing traitors, those who come up and want to say, well, we need to join them and it'll be greater later. It'll never get greater until we take our own responsibility. Nobody will free us until we free our Uhuru.
Uhuru. All right. Brother Ralph, did you have a few more comments before we close down? Antonella, did you have a few more comments before we close down?
Yes, so I would like
Come on,
to say,
that's all.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to say, as I started in the beginning, no or too few people are concerned about genocide until it's pointed at them. And what people in America understand, there is genocide that has been pointed at us for a long time. The poor, the people of color, the people who have emotional problems. We are supposed to disappear. And quietly, we say nothing until it gets too close, and then it's too late. We must say it now. We must show power. This all began when the freed slaves, the slaves who fought for freedom, worked for the vote to develop power. We got the vote. The vote with no teeth, to a third party with no demands. Let's put our demands out there by sitting on our hands because they are afraid to death of Trump. We need not be afraid of Trump because the first two presidents of the United States sent money to the slaveholders in Haiti to keep slavery going. This is what America is about. And so having a racist president certainly isn't something we should fear. We are accustomed to it. Brothers and sisters, I implore you, show your teeth. Show the power of the vote. Say it aloud. Don't be punked quietly. Say, I refuse this punking. I will sit on my hands. I will go to a party the day of election. I don't care who gets elected because my demands are not being met. Thank you, and look forward to seeing all of you tomorrow night on WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial from 8 to 9. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial. Call in and give us your views. Many people have to hear that because many people on WBAI are hiding in the dark. We must show them that we are out there. Sister Betty, send us home. Sister Betty.
I want to say that many people have been so faithful in trying to support us by calling in and making donations on WBAI. But what I would like to remind you is that there is also a fifth column within that organization that does not want to see this program. The programs that bring Speak Truth to Power come out to the public on free public access radio. Right now, the political party are trying to get donations together to stop Pacifica because the little bit that we are able to tell is too much for them. So I invite everyone here to please try and call in tomorrow. Our theme tomorrow is a continuation of this struggle for understanding that colonialism equals genocide, houselessness equals death, gentrification equals ethnic cleansing, and that this is going on all over the world. Wherever there are people of color, wherever there is land that people of color are inhabiting that has any kind of minerals, or any kind of resources, or oil, or vegetation that they want to use for whatever reason, they are at risk for genocide. And we all know how the struggle in Vietnam, how long it lasted, and how many colonial powers they had to struggle against before they could finally get their freedom. We already know what a terrible price they paid. There's parts of their land that will be forever contaminated with all the bombs that were dropped there. And this is exactly what is happening in Gaza. And I want to thank all of you for referencing the map of Palestine. I want to commend Brother Jan for making people aware that it wasn't just 56 years ago. This is 75 years ago. And I want to thank Brother Henry for giving you some homework. Please share the information on this program. We have got to be able to make the public understand that this cannot happen in our name. And I want to thank especially Brother Kazi for saying that some of these misleadership class Negroes had the nerve to say, we can't use the word Holocaust. Can they look at the numbers of people who were disappeared as the Europeans moved across the globe? How about the Hawaiians? How about the Mohawks? How about the Algonquins? How about the Cherokee? How about the Cree? And we could go on and on and on. And what the hell did the Hawaiians do to deserve to be wiped out to the tune of 80%? They welcomed the Europeans. They actually welcomed them. And this is the result of welcoming them. So all of us have some ancestors who were the victims of a Holocaust of capitalism, colonialism, and so-called European civilization. And it's our time to stand up and say, not again, not in our name. And with that, we want to thank you. We hope you will call in tomorrow and continue this conversation. And we thank you for being on tonight.
Done.